So I just wanted to read a couple of verses this morning that had encouraged me on faith and perseverance. It was in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." And as I read through these verses this morning, I was kind of reflecting a little bit just on even just some personal experience over the last few weeks, and just we've had a lot of sickness in our home, and it's not a major trial, but it just, I think one of the tests that God allows is for us to just go through scenarios where we would like to see something change, and yet we have to continue to wait. And you can choose to either kind of get stuck in a rut and just let the enemy fill your mind with things to complain about or grumble about or things that were just focused on our problems, or conversely, you can choose to lay hold and grab onto some faith and to trust God in the middle of it. And some of what I was thinking about is how contrary that is to our very nature. Like, our nature does that does not want to do that. Our nature wants to just stay stuck. It wants to focus on the problem. It wants to focus on what's not happening instead of what faith says. No, I'm not going to go by what I feel. I'm not going to go by what I see, but rather I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. And even, because I can tell you, even in the midst of our little trials over the last few weeks, some of the things that come into my mind, and I'm only going to say them because I think they could maybe help others, is I can't see what you're doing in this, God. Like, I'm going through this sickness, and I'm going through this time of waiting and difficulty, and I actually feel less spiritual. I don't feel like I'm growing spiritually through this, Lord. I just feel like I'm just stuck and miserable. And the enemy can sort of pile on with these things and kind of make us want to stay in that place. And what is it? That's unbelief. That's not faith. Faith says God uses everything for our good. Faith says that God allows trials to test our faith, to cause us to grow in endurance. But what was going into my head was contrary to that, saying, like, somehow this isn't, even though somehow this isn't working. Somehow God, because I don't feel a certain way or because I'm not experiencing certain things, somehow God, you're not doing good through this. And I don't want to over-magnify our trial. It wasn't a big deal, but I can tell you, these are some of the little battles and wrestles I went through. And as I read these verses this morning, I was reminded, it's like, you know what? No, we desire that each one of you show diligence to hold on to faith, that we wouldn't be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And another thing I was thinking about is we just read this promise here. This is a promise that was given to Abraham. And the author of Hebrews kind of summarizes it in saying, "So in having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." But if you keep your finger in Hebrews, but if you turn back to Romans 4, in Romans 4, in verse 19, it gives a little more context to what that is. I think most of us know this story, but it's good to be reminded of this. It says, "Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb," so his body is dead, his body's past in age when he should be having children, "his wife's body is dead, it's past the age when she should be having children, not to mention she's never had any even when she was in a proper time for children. And it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So that's the context it says here, is that his body was as good as dead. And his wife's body was as good as dead. But what did he have? He had a promise that God was going to give him a son. He had a promise that God was going to give him a son. So he said, I am not going to go by what I see. I'm not going to go by the fact. And also, it's been at least, I believe, 13 years since God gave him that promise. So my body's dead. My wife's body's dead. It's been 13 years since you made this promise to me, God. But what does the scripture says? The scripture says he did not go by these things. He went on faith that God, what God promised is true. And I just already quoted a few of them, but I was just thinking back on other situations and like getting through a little trial that we've been going through with sickness and some other things. It's hard. It's not easy. But what are the real promises? Like the real pivotal promises that we need to believe in the New Testament. Those promises are the ones that says God is transforming us. He's changing us. He's made us new creations and he's conforming us into his image. That there is no sin that can hold us in bondage. There is no sin that we, through the power of Jesus Christ, cannot overcome. There's no discouragement that he can't set us free from. There's no depression that he can't lift us out of. These are the promises that when you start to look at what Abraham believed, then you can start to say, yeah, there's also promises in the New Testament that we also need to, even when we see our own bodies as good as dead. Maddie and I were talking about it just the other day, how certain things, like we struggle and fail. We struggle and fail. We want to see change come in our lives. We want to see God do something, and yet we end up failing again. What is the outcome of that? Is the outcome to say, you know what, I'm just not sure God's word is true? Or is the outcome to say, you know what, God, I think you're allowing me to see just how dead my body is. I think you're allowing me to see just how impossible it is for me to do this without you. And instead of when we come to that place, we can either have to come to a place of discouragement and hopelessness and say, I don't know, these promises are just not working for me. Or we can come to the place and say, God, despite what I see, despite what I feel, your word is true. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me your grace and help me. Because I cannot do it on my own. I want to do it. I want to change. I don't want to be the way that I am. But I cannot do it. And you have to do it, God. You have to bring life into this circumstance and change me. And this is why it says we have to have perseverance and faith. They have to be mixed together. Because that's when it matters. When everything's going well, when life is not challenging us in this way, when we're going through a path where we're maybe not experiencing as intensive a trials or the battle isn't necessarily as hot, sometimes you can not necessarily see the need. But when we're in these situations where it's right in front of us, either discouragement and hopelessness and saying it doesn't work, or to choose and say, you know what, God, I believe your word. Your word is true. Your promises are true, and I'm going to believe them, and I'm going to continue to believe, and I'm going to continue to ask you to help me. I'm going to believe that you can bring about good in this situation. I'm going to believe that you can change me, whatever it is. And like I said, it's all things that I think everybody has heard before and knows. But when you're going through trials, when you're going through difficulties, it's good to remind ourselves that we need to continue to have faith. We need to have faith and we need to have patience or endurance. We need to continue to press on. If we've stumbled and fallen, we can't stop there. You got to get back up by faith and continue to press on, because that's how we inherit the promises. The promises are not for those who stop and give up. The promises are those who, through faith and patience, endure. And that's also how we grab onto hope as well. So I'll finish up here. Let's start in verse 18. I'm skipping over a few verses about how God promises and it's impossible for him to lie. But in verse 18, it says, "So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hope, to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor for the soul, a hope which is both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And I think the thing that spoke to me the most in this whole passage is that we have to take hold of that hope. The hope is in front of us. It's there, but we have a responsibility. We have to take hold of that hope, and that is done through faith. That is done through faith. And the hope we have is all the promises. I've quoted a few. Hebrews is filled with verses to give us hope. How Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses. How, if you go over to just the next chapter, it says that we have a better hope. The law could make nothing perfect, but the new covenant gives us an opportunity to have the change that the law can never bring. There's countless promises that are there for us, but they only can actually be translated into something that gives us hope if we're willing to, by faith, reach out and take hold of them. You have to take hold of them. If you just sit in discouragement and despair, and I don't say this to condemn anyone, but if we just sit there, we're not the hope. We have to lay hold of it. You have to lay hold of that anchor. And if you lay hold of it, then it is rock solid. By faith, if we're able to lay hold of it, it can pull us through the circumstances we're going through. It can pull us through, and actually, it actually says in chapter 7, verse 19, "The law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." So it is by that hope, it is by laying hold and grabbing hold of hope that we can actually draw near to God. That as we're going through difficulties, if we're going through circumstances, and I can tell you, I can see at times in the past week and a bit here and going through our little trials, at times I was like, "Man, God, where are you?" Not like you've abandoned me. I just feel very distant right now. I just feel sick and heavy and a little discouraged, and I don't know where you are, God. And what the word says is, I need to lay hold of hope. I need to lay hold of hope, and through that hope, draw near to God. Draw near to him and take the promises that I'm given and take the truth of Scripture and let that be an anchor that I lay hold of that can draw me near to God. And at times it's a choice of our will. It's a choice of our will to look at the Scripture and to look at what it says and say, "I am going to believe this. I am going to believe the Word of God. I'm not going to believe my emotions or my feelings or other what the circumstances are. I'm going to believe the Word of God." And through that, we can lay hold of faith. And through that, we can have hope. We can have this hope that's an anchor to our soul. So I know it was simple, but I was encouraged to be reminded of these things, encouraged by the challenge of Scripture. And we need to have faith, we need to have endurance, and we need to lay hold of hope.